Welcome and hello everyone, and welcome to Edge Talk Radio. Today I'm going to be talking with Ellen Gregg. She is with Intuitive Guidance and Healing, and she is from New Hampshire. I am so excited to have her on today. So who am I? I am Angela Zabel, and I am connected to spirit, working with a team in the non-physical my entire life, sharing messages with a multitude of realms with people. I'm a teacher, coach, and medium. I am also a radio show host. Here I am, a writer, retreat host, gallery reader, and speaker. I offer online private and group sessions and classes, doing speaking engagements and sharing knowledge with others throughout the world. And you can find out more about me at pretty much on all the social media and on angelazabel.com. We'll get you to all of them. And then who are we here? We are working with Edge Magazine, and Edge Magazine is the leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, health, and wellness, and the mysteries beyond, sharing information, wisdom, and resources, committed and promoting businesses, organizations, and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. And you can find out more about the Edge Magazine at edgemagazine.net. And today we have Ellen M. Gregg on, and she is a professional intuitive healer who draws on a wide range of intuitive and healing abilities and modalities. She uses them to support clients through life events with their own intuitive abilities and to clear energy clouding. We're going to get into that later, and or that may be blocking their way. Ellen is also the creator of The Spiral, a private community for wise women practicing the spiritual arts personally and in some cases professionally. She gratefully does this as she loves what she does. So Ellen, you want to find out more about Ellen at ellenmgregg.com. And Ellen, I am so excited to have you here. And I am just a little curiosity for people, what actually started you on this path? Because it's not usually a normal path for people.
Angela, I'm so excited to be here too. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you. So what started me on this path? Spirit started me on this path. So once upon a time, I was going through a huge transition. I had been laid off from a job that I'd held for over 16 and a half years. And it threw me, I mean, truly threw me for a loop in many ways. One, I realized how much I identified with my job, which was interesting. And it also made me question everything in ways that I hadn't before, including my own spirituality. And I was drawn to Reiki, and through the process of becoming a Reiki master and then a master teacher, intuitive abilities that I had forgotten about, aka had completely squelched when I was younger because I didn't know what to do with them, had no context for them, started to rise up, and others rose up along with them. Things I never imagined were possible, well, at least not outside of a really well-written Stephen King novel. So
I love that.
Well, you know, it was like, all right, this is interesting. So the thing is, so side by side with that, I continued to look for jobs that were I was very familiar with, office managing, that kind of thing. And it just never occurred to me that I could do anything else, that I could actually take all this stuff that was in many ways disrupting, but more importantly, blessing my life at that point, and contain it in a way that would allow me to use it to create income. So I got another job and I was laid off of that. And then I got another job and I was laid off from that.
I love how spirit kind of continues that method of like, you got to look a little further.
It truly was a three strikes, you're out kind of thing. So it was three strikes. That third strike, which happened in February of 2013. And the thing is, even then, I just didn't fully grasp what's happening. And so I continued looking and was actually doing card readings and stuff up on the side. And then it was like the you're out came. So the you're out came in the form of congestive heart failure. Out of the blue, had never had any heart problems before. It was one of the healthiest times of my life. I was eating completely vegan. All the things that you're supposed to do to be healthy, I was doing.
Wow.
Doctors could not figure out how I ended up in the ICU for 5 days. They couldn't figure it out.
That's a huge that I mean that's not something like, I fell and twisted my ankle or something like that. That is a huge medical issue that you encountered at that time.
The thing is, what's really interesting about that is that I was so calm through the whole thing that the nurses kept on saying, "You're so calm. I've never met anyone so calm. How are you so calm?" And I was like, "It's Reiki. It's Reiki. It's Reiki." Like, not listening to myself, but saying, "It's Reiki." And got out of the hospital, and it was just one of those things where suddenly things started clicking into place because I had been so incapacitated that. My recovery time was like 6 weeks after getting out of the hospital before I even felt like I could be normal in the world, so to speak,
Wow.
energetically speaking, like just have the energy to do things. So during that time, it was like I went through a complete reschooling, is how I think of it. Like my spirit guides, they put me through my paces. And, it's just suddenly hit me what they were doing because I was encouraged strongly to enroll
Nudged.
at South, right? To enroll at Southwest Institute of Healing Arts into their bachelor program to become a holistic health practitioner, which included all these wonderful sidebar things. It was just incredible. What all ended up happening from there. And at the same time, it was like I realized, oh, okay, well, if I'm going to be going to school full time, because we're talking this was full time and then some, I can't work full time. What can I do? Oh, well, I could do more card readings. I could do more Reiki.
What a perfect way to do it.
That's it just evolved from there. And then I took everything that I was learning at SWEHA, which was life coaching, holistic nutrition. There was one intuitive class at hypnosis and hypnosis and more hypnosis. So just all these wonderful things compiled together. And yeah, here I am.
That's pretty amazing how, and you said spirit kind of nudged you a little bit. Sometimes they kind of push you pretty hard when
I said nudge to be nice, but honestly, it's like they just, put me at the top of the stairs and pushed me down them.
and how are you now though with everything after all of your health issues? How are you now?
I'm really good. Honestly, am I as healthy as I wish I could be? I could absolutely lose weight. I'm committed to walking every day, which is going to be huge. This is part of this new move that's happened. I'm actually living in a safe neighborhood where I can walk every day, whereas before I couldn't. So, but apart from that, I'm really good. I'm really good. So it's one of those things. It was an interesting anomaly that created a lot of buzz while I was in the hospital because all the doctors were like, I want to check her out too and see what I can find out. We're trying to one up each other. Someone's gonna figure it out, and nobody could figure it out.
Gee, I wonder why they couldn't figure it Just a little bit in a different energetic state is how
Yes, that's a nice way of putting it.
it happened. So as you started doing this, and this was, you're doing card readings on the side, were you always intuitive? How did you, because you started doing the card readings on the side before Spirit gave you the nudge push to get your regular.
I mean, I'd started doing the card readings before that final nudge. And the thing is, alongside the Reiki, and the thing is, it was really interesting too. It's like the Reiki led to the card reading. So the thing is, it was like I was doing Reiki, but as one of my Reiki teachers noted, Ellen isn't just doing Reiki. Because a lot of stuff was coming up from the Reiki, and I figured that everybody else was having the same experience I was, and that wasn't the case. So one thing led to another, and it was, you know, I was drawn to, first of all, oracle cards, which I wonder if that happens with a number of people, perhaps especially if you're older, like I am. Like, tarot, I had a bad experience with, aka it was way too truthful to me. And so I was like, I'm not doing tarot ever again. Oracle cards were lovely though. And that led me back into tarot. So yeah, the doing the card readings, again, it was so interesting how it evolved out of all the intuitive stuff that was coming out of my Reiki sessions. It was almost like I'd get to the end of a Reiki session, I'd have all this information in my head. I couldn't not share it with the person that had just been lying on my table. So I was like, okay, how do I even do this? And I just started saying a couple of things I noticed. Just, you know, share those couple of things. And if they wanted to know more, I would tell them more, you know? And so these wonderful conversations would ensue, and then more insights would come up, not just from me, from them, which was the coolest thing. But yes, I've been intuitive all my life. And when I was younger, a lot of it came through in the way of premonitions. And those premonitions were super unsettling because, again, I had no context for it. Wonderfully supportive adults in my life, but no one to whom I felt I could speak to about what I was experiencing.
Did you pretty much keep it to yourself then most of your
life? I did. Yeah, I did. Because again, it was one of those things where, so, you know, mostly premonitions, sometimes like a deja vu kind of thing, which still happens to me oftentimes. But it was so, again, unsettling, I guess is the best word, and sometimes disruptive, because it was scary to see things happen in my mind's eye or in my dream time, and then all of a sudden see them playing out in the real world.
So you make a really good point on that, because a lot of people think, well, it must be nice, you have all these premonitions or you know things ahead of time, but they don't realize the opposite end of it, where, you know, it kind of freaks you out. It kind of messes with you a little bit, because it's like, holy cow, this came true. And some of the stuff coming true is really good stuff, but some of the stuff coming true is kind of unsettling, because it's dealing with people around you and knowing about them ahead of time. So there is that side of it, and being willing to be open to both sides of the premonitions, of knowing things ahead of time, of some of those intuitive thoughts, and not being fearful of them, but starting to embrace them.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing about intuition in general. It isn't all sunshine and lollipops and rainbows. It isn't. And to suppose it is to ignore the fact that life in general is not all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. You know, I look at intuition as being a reflection of our human experience. So our intuitive senses are a reflection of our human senses. It's just that think of them as supersized or more expanded, you know, and not tied to the physical. They can involve the physical, but they're not tied to the physical, you know? So yeah, when I was 12 years old, was, I called the last straw with the premonition thing. I had a premonition of a friend being hit by a car while they were riding their bike. Oh. And it happened. And they were out of school for a couple of months recovering. And I actually told a teacher about it after the fact. And unfortunately, the teacher was not ready to hear what I was saying and, brushed me off. It was like, you don't know what you're talking about. That's, basically that's BS without saying it was BS. And I shut it down. It was really interesting because I noticed sometimes even now with certain things intuitively, it's almost like this click going off in the mind, like literally like flipping a switch, and you can feel it's almost a physical sense of something being shut down, and that's exactly what I did. And then it just burst open decades later when Reiki found me.
It's very interesting how when you had that moment where somebody is really looking at what you're doing differently, and you yourself have the doubts of what it is, and that one switch, that one thing, that one moment ended up switching everything off for a while, at least out here, because I think inside you were still getting them. You're just not putting it out here.
Totally. And it was a lot more subtle. And I can look back now and say, oh yeah, I mean, it was happening more. It was almost like all the premonition stuff transferred itself into that deja vu kind of thing. And there were still times when I can say, now my spidey senses were on full alert around things. And again, did I have context and did I know enough to say, something's off? Nope. I can look back now, though, and appreciate the fact that even though I shut it down in terms of like being consciously aware and paying attention, it was still humming in the background.
And absolutely there to help you and to protect you a lot of times from situations, people that maybe wouldn't aren't the best for you, and to have that ability to go, something's off, even if you don't necessarily acknowledge it, or you kind of nonchalantly kind of move away without really like, why did I do that? But having that sense and seeing it later, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. And it's really interesting, this particular thing coming up, because I see, correlations in regular life. You know how life is. But it's like the other day, something happened, and my mother said yes to something that she would have preferred to say no to. And after the fact, she looked at me and she said, I suppose I could have said no, but that wouldn't have been nice. And I was like, oh, this is one of those things where with intuition, we might feel like this no, like it might be the most innocuous question. Hey, you want to go to the bar with us tomorrow night? And you feel this certain no. And yet you don't see any human reason for not going. And plus, that wouldn't be very nice. I mean, you're being invited to go to the bar. So you say yes rather than no. You get there and something happens.
I
If
agree.
you'd listened, you wouldn't have been present for.
Absolutely. And that's something people look back on. And, I had something a little, not quite the same, but I had some of my children had went out with some people. And shortly after they left, I just like, this is not right. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And so I called and called and called and said, just please come back home. And just come back home. And they were upset with me, but they did come back home. But yeah, nothing happened. But I feel nothing happened because they came back home. Otherwise, I felt something very bad was going to happen because they were showing me, an accident and different things in my head. And I had never had anything like that when my kids had left before. But that time, I did.
Yeah.
So,
And that's one of those things too. When you talk to people about intuition, people look for certainties because we as humans are wired to have certainties around everything. Give me a guarantee. Show me the proof. You know what I mean?
show me the proof,
Yeah.
exactly.
The thing is, when it comes to intuition, I mean, sure, sometimes there can be straight up proof to show them. Most of the time, not so much. And so when it comes to one living into your intuition, no matter what. And two, taking it to another level, like you, like me, and actually, using it in our work, for our work. Boy, there has to be if you don't come in with a certain mindset around that you can simply accept the fact that there are times when you're not going to be able to satisfy people in terms of saying, this is why this is coming through for you, like exactly, then, it's not going to work because there's going to be too much doubt, and it'll be really challenging at best to work through that or work around it.
Absolutely. And that's something people have to realize. When you're working with your intuition, you really have to trust it in that moment. Because when you trust that moment and you go with that, that means it may change another moment going forward that may or may not happen because of you trusting your intuition. So it is very important for everyone to do that. And that's something I'm so excited to share with you, is because you've been tapping into so much. And I love how you talked about with the Reiki, you're tapping into other aspects and bringing that forward in your sessions. And what I just want to ask, what type of things have you been tapping into, or would you like to talk about that you have tapped into using your intuition?
Yeah, I mean, it started off as what I would call relatively normal stuff. Like, you it's like you it's like someone asks you a question and you get an answer to it, but it kind of fleshes itself out in terms of, again, using the five senses in general. And I would call that kind of foundational intuition. What started happening as I was just delving into things, it always would happen in a session. Never would it happen like when I was just practicing and, exploring on my own. No, always would happen mid-session. Like medical intuition, finding out that I could be a medium. mean, it's fat, it's channeling. Channeling just started happening mostly by writing. It started, and then it started, so whole body channeling started happening. Things of that nature, like developing protocols mid-session that I didn't know I was going to be developing. It's one of those things afterwards I'm saying to my guides, really? Like, really? Like, I mean, thank you, and really?
I love that because they love to teach when you're working with people. It never ends.
Totally. Totally. It's like I have this one protocol that I love. It's called the bridge, and it is a way for people to people who think they're not intuitive, people who think they can't connect, to connect. And it's so ridiculously simple, but again, one of those things that happened mid-session, and I'm like, I'm here in my head, I'm going, come on, you guys, come on. And then I'm like, oh geez, screw it, just go with it. Just go with it. I'm like going along with the person on their journey, like, we'll see where this is going. I have not a blessed clue. And it's like, wow, that was really neat. Okay, cool, thanks.
Thanks for the information and, figuring it out.
Yeah, totally. But it's like the Ascended Masters, who I'd never even heard of until I started working with them and knew that they had that moniker attached to them, and archangels, and oh boy, are we gonna even go there? Okay, so a grouping that, oh geez, I don't know, Angela. This is like opening Pandora's box.
Yep, I know they're telling me go for
A group of energies who refer to themselves as the OE, the original energy.
Nice.
And that has been an adventure that started just this past year and has been, let's call it, in development. And just over the past couple of months, I channeled them in their entirety. And When I first started doing full body channeling, it tapped my physical energy like to the extreme. It's one of those things where, I have so many people who'll say to me, I want to be able to do all that you do. And I'm like, you're completely capable. Here's the thing. There's a big caveat to this. You have to know that it has to come in parts and it has to happen over a period of time because our human bodies and our brains are not made to engage with this level of energy. They just aren't. And so there has to be a process of getting used to it. There has to be, it's like exercising. You can't just bench lift 250 pounds your first time. You have to work
Absolutely.
up to it. It's the same thing. So when I first started the full body channeling, it seemed so easy. Like I was doing this with my friend Tina, and it was so easy and so much fun. We were both like in complete awe of what was happening. And then I would drive home, open the door of my car, and wonder if I was going to be able to make it the 30 feet from my car to the front door because I was so physically tapped out.
That is really good for people to realize because when you are tapping into this, when you go in a little bit deeper levels, the regular intuitive and things like that, but when you start going deeper into the channeling and some of the mediumship and some of these other things, it is an energy tap and you really need to learn how to work with that. And
Yes.
one other thing I think was really cool is you said that working with that is just like, you have to go to the gym before you bench 250 pounds. It's funny because I always refer to intuition as an intuitive muscle that you need to exercise. So
Yeah, totally. Totally. So working with the OE, what the first time they channeled, which was I want to say it was 6 or 8 weeks ago. I didn't know it was going to happen until it was happening, which is again typical of me. And I was like, this is different because I was noticing, like I'm used to, like right now I can feel, and is this the OE who's kind of in the background? Yeah. So I mean I'm feeling like there's a it's almost like having two layers of muscle, like having two jaws, having two pairs of hands, rather than, you know what I mean? It's like almost like everything is doubled up in a way. And same thing with all the muscle groups, like everything is doubled up. What's different with the OE is they hyper engage my eyes, which with quote unquote regular paneling that I'm used to doing, not so much, but they really engage my eyes, which I find fascinating. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but different energy group. So I noticed something was different, and I was on this Zoom call with six other people, and they're all going, something's different. I'm like, I'm aware. I don't know what it is, but I'm aware. And then my voice completely changed, and my movements completely changed. And it's so funny to be like fully aware. Like, it's not as though my consciousness is disengaged in any way. It's like I'm just like I just take a tiny step to the right and I'm like just like watching them run the show. See? I'm like, what's coming out of my mouth? I'm hearing right along with everybody else at the same time. No idea what's gonna come out. And so after we finished it, and it was only like for 20 minutes or so that they channeled, and then they, didn't, it's not that they dispersed, but kind of just settled back a little bit and finished the call. And then I was like, And I stood up and I had to like just, have a hand on my desk just to make sure that I was standing upright before I took a step.
That's a good idea.
And then it was like, okay, I need to drink like a gallon of water right now. And by 7:30 that night, I was ready to go to bed. I was like done. Like physically, my body was
Wiped out.
fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah.
And what have you found? Because the other thing was coming into all of this is the energy is shifting, energy is new energies are coming in. What are you feeling or finding with this OG or
Yeah.
OE, OE, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My kids always say OG. So
I know. Yeah.
So what are you finding with that? With what is the message or what is the overall feeling of that energy coming in?
Yeah. I'm going to let them take over, because what we're noticing here is that the energy is changing. It's transitioning. You are all going through a metamorphosis, some more so than others, simply because you are more available, accessible. You are working. You are doing the work. And so, for example, for you, Angela, for Ellen, what we're doing is you are harnessing the new energy coming in, perhaps more so than others are. And then what is happening is you are making yourselves available for this transition, this metamorphosis, which is going to help you to help others to also go through their own metamorphosis. Because what we're noticing here is, whether people are realizing it or not, all are going to go through some sort of a metamorphosis. And for some, it is going to feel as though they have been waiting for this for some time. For others, they are going to wish it had never happened.
That is a very interesting concept, where some do not want it to happen or wished it hadn't happened.
What we're noticing is, for many humans, waking up, as you like to call it, it is an inconvenience. It requires they see life differently, see the world differently, see themselves in the world differently. It calls into question things they would rather not question. It is inconvenient.
Understandable. And as I want to thank you for coming in, such a beautiful message. Thank you so much.
We thank you for doing the work. We thank you for engaging Ellen today. And we thank you for allowing yourself to be a part of the transition that Earth is going through.
Thank you so much. Are you able to answer one more question?
Yes.
The transition of the Earth at this point in time, are there more and more people who are going to be connecting and contacting and in contact with you as this transition happens?
We notice is yes, although not all will be able to do what Ellen is doing, not all will be able to do what you will be doing, simply because they do not have the stamina, they are not willing to put in the time, put in the effort, or they have simply no understanding of what must be done to come to this space. And so what we're noticing is that people are going to become more aware of we, because they cannot help but do otherwise.
I love it. And I am excited to have you being playing more and more of a part in our world going forward. And I thank you so much for your time.
We thank you for your time. Oh my gosh.
I didn't want to wear you out too much.
So it's fine. They're still very much engaged, and that's completely fine. I don't think they're anywhere at the moment.
No, I didn't think so either, but it's like, I don't want to wear you out because I know you.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
And that's one of the things, is understanding there is so much here for us. And before you started, my team was like, they're going to come through. So they're going to come through. I'm like, okay.
Love that.
And one of the things is, like, what can people help? What can people do to help bring this through? What can people do to help engage in the new energy? Is that something you've heard from them?
I'm gonna let them just continue, because what we're noticing here is using their intuition, making actual use of it, and understanding it is not only for those things that are considered extra special, extraordinary. It is not for just those things that are outside the human realms. It is meant to be used in a very everyday way. This is how the muscle builds. This is how they become as though one with their intuitive understandings, and then are able to expand them.
That is so.
We do not wish to interrupt you.
No, I was just going to say that that is something so important for people to hear, to be using it in everyday manners, because so many people look at it as something as so big that cannot be used on an everyday basis. Is that also something you do? And I'm just going to make a little bit of thing here where you nudged Ellen earlier when she was had gone through her jobs and her sicknesses. And is that something that you will do in ways to help people move forward?
Well, and in particular with those that we notice have the capacity to take things beyond even what is considered the extraordinary. This is, we notice, going to be, call it the foundation, call it the cornerstone of this new paradigm in which we are entering. It is as though there will need to be certain people like you, Angela, like Ellen, in all the corners of the earth as pillars. And then others will rise up when they are near them.
I love that. I love that so much. And for you, what there is, when you talked about different types of people, I just maybe want you to maybe talk about, does everybody have the ability to rise up? Just certain people have the ability to rise up further at this time in life, but at another time they also can.
Yes, and this is the thing that we notice that humans have a hard time accepting, is that everyone is able to rise up in such a manner. We notice that humans like to have identities. They like to feel special. And so to suppose that someone else other than them is able to do what they do, for some, this is a joy, and for others, it is a competition.
That is very true, because some, it is a competition, and I feel it's so joyful to see people accomplish and move themselves up, and I'm so excited you are here to be a part of that.
And so we are in gratitude to you, and we are in gratitude to Ellen, and we are in gratitude to all those who are listening to this broadcast, because they too, they are paying attention.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. I appreciate that. And I like to say that anyone who is listening for a reason. You're here for a reason.
And so.
How are you doing, Ellen?
Doing fine.
Definitely an unexpected thing, but I kind of had an inkling it was going to be happening.
I was ready for anything, which is, you know, the way to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's something with you and I, showing people you have the capacity, you have the ability to trust yourself, trust your intuition, and help move yourself up. Because what a beautiful world it would be and will be when everybody starts rising up and realizing they're all connected. We're all here for a reason, and we're all here to enjoy every moment of the earth we're on. I think that's something when they mention about some people look at waking up as not a good thing and other ones are excited for it. And to realize, to change your perspective and look at it as such an exciting journey, and we get to experience it.
Yeah. And that's the part that excites me. It's like, I oftentimes send up this prayer, may I ever be in awe around all of this. May I never want to reach a point where I'm like, this is just how things are. You know what I mean? Pardon me, I need to take a drink. Oh boy, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. There's a lot of energy moving around.
Cool. Yeah.
Because before they came in, I could see them behind you. And I'm like, oh, here they're coming. They're coming.
It's so funny. You can see them. I can feel them. It's all about sensation when it comes to them. I don't really see them. It's all feeling. Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is it's different for everyone. And to not be comparing yourself to others, no one should ever compare themselves to anyone else ever.
Yeah. And I completely agree with that. It's one of those things where, like, one of my strongest intuitive abilities is my clairvoyance. So for me not to be able to see them is odd. And at the same time, it's one of those things where we use different senses in our everyday lives differently. We might see our food, but we really smell and taste our food, right? So it's the same way with intuition. To expect that just because we're super clairvoyant, that we're going to see everything intuitively is maybe not the best way to hold that, because in some instances, we'll get more information from our other senses.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny. My light will flicker at times when certain things are said. It's like, oh yeah, go back on that. Just messing with
very
my
funny.
And they're saying to remember, just like blind people, when they can't see, it heightens the other senses. So if you are so good at seeing otherwise, it's good to mask those. So you learn to do it more with the other senses, instead of thinking, for people to think that that's not working, so it must not be working right. Instead, they're building your other senses, your other intuitive senses that are always there.
I love that part of it too. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that right there is such an important piece of this puzzle too. It's, you know, I love that analogy of, you know, putting that blindfold on so that you're really needing to use your other senses. Yeah. So important.
Absolutely. And it's there to help us all. We're all learning. And, you know, I know you, Ellen, you're always learning, always finding new things to understand, to explore, and to have that, when you said to always be excited for everything, to have that excitement every day. What else can I learn? What else can I understand? That's key to this world.
It really is. And it helps a lot, especially I just heard the word humdrum, and it's like, yeah, you know, a lot of what's happening in our world can be humdrum or straight up upsetting, but it's like, you know, yeah, you know, we still need to clean the toilets, still need to do the dishes and do the laundry and do those sort of everyday humdrum things. And yes, we can't completely avoid some of the crap going on in the world. However, we don't have to dredge ourselves in it. There's no need to dredge ourselves in it. And so to be able to have this sort of thing, meaning intuition and all else that revolves around it, accessible and attainable, and to help us see that bigger picture, because that's what it is. It is going from looking at things in a very small way to looking at things in a very big way. And that can really help to put things into context so that we're not getting sucked down by everything happening around us.
And that's very true, to know that everything happening around us, you don't have to take it in. And honestly, when you look at doing the dishes, cleaning the toilets, doing all that, I look at that as a methods of grounding. So I look at it as every time I'm doing it, I am grounding myself. I am making myself understanding who I am and grounding myself with things that need to be done. And by doing that, it makes it a little more bearable.
I love that. That's such a great way to look at it. Truly, because it is that too. It is one of those things where when we're doing this sort of work and we're becoming more and more expanded and expansive, it's like one of those things where we need to remember that we are still in these human body suits. And so doing the laundry and washing the toilets and that kind of stuff, it is, that isn't an anchor, but it is, as you said, a grounding mechanism so that, we have to, we need to be able to manage the two, right? So that's how we go at it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I know you've been doing so many different things. I just want to kind of go through for people. You have the spiral. It's the spiral is all about the gathering and support of ourselves and each other. And they're offered 4 times a month on Wednesdays. You have the Spiral Academy with courses, energy working courses, and pendulum power-up courses. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And you talked about the bridge and managing an energy space. And you also do intuitive support for human beings with 30 and 60 minute intuitive sessions. And you have intuitive session packages, and you do short intuitive Q&A email readings. And when you're doing your intuitive sessions, and you just and a lot of these other academies and the spiral, is a lot of that online for people who aren't in your local area? Because now I
Yes.
before you were in New Hampshire. Are you still there?
I actually still am in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yes. So everything is online, and it's very intentional that way because, well, first of all, most of my clients are from outside my region.
Absolutely.
So there's one thing. But also the fact that it was made very clear to me in the early stages of actually building this business that I needed to think bigger than just New Hampshire. I needed to make sure that people, wherever they were in the world, could have access to me. And so, and it's there, I had some resistance around that at first because I love being one-on-one with people. I love it. And at the same time, they were like, you still will be. It's just that you're not going to be sitting across a table from them. You're going to be sitting across the world. I was like sitting across the world from them,
Yes.
but you'll still be able to have that one-on-one experience, So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's something where you started the spiral. So, would you want to talk a little bit about what the spiral is, how it helps, what the purpose of it is? And I heard a little story about how did that spiral start, is my question.
My gosh. Well, the thing is, it was one of those things again where it took years of prodding for me to actually do it because they had been pushing me to form this digital community where people could gather, they would could share their stories, we could have gatherings. And even though the gatherings was the last thing, it was one of those things again, most of it was very comfortable for me because people could just come on, it was a very kind of almost like a Facebook-like experience, except it was not on Facebook. And so people could create posts and comment on those posts, and we were commenting on each other's posts, and you could DM people. And then it reached a point where it was feeling like that wasn't quite enough. Nobody was saying that, but I was feeling it wasn't enough. And so I was like, how would you feel about like a monthly meeting? Like we could just meet on Zoom once a month and see how that goes. And it went tremendously. And then one thing led to another, then all of a sudden it's like, 4 Wednesdays out of the month having these gatherings. And suddenly no one is posting anymore because we're meeting 4 times a week and 4 times a month rather. And so we're having these face-to-face conversations. So what has happened very organically over the past 2 months is I completely closed down the spiral platform where all of those hosts were living because nobody's using it, including myself. We were all meeting. So now it's the spiral gatherings. And the thing is too, what that made it, because I love the idea of a private community in the sense that it creates a very safe environment for people to share things that they wouldn't feel comfortable sharing necessarily in a public forum. And so that worked really well. The gatherings still work well. I limit it to 11 people, no more than 11 people at any one gathering. And it is still that safe space. And we have these intense conversations, and then I make the replays available so that people can revisit if that's helpful, because so much happens. It's just a beautiful thing, and it's unexpected and beautiful how that all transpired.
And I love how you've been just following your intuition, listening, sometimes with more prodding from them,
Yes.
but organically growing. And I think, meeting those people one-on-one and having that safe space for them to talk about all different subjects, because honestly, there's a lot of things you don't want to bring up in a public forum. And I think that's something so key for you and how you're helping so many people in that aspect and be able to kind of talk with their heart and really ask the questions that they've been wondering without feeling like they're judged. And I think that's something so key for people, especially going forward, because I feel there's so much judgment in the world everywhere.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of those things where, the word othering gets used a lot these days. And it's one of those things, just like there are a couple of buzzwords around that I'm like, this is so overused. However, the othering really works in this situation, because I see it within my own family. I have one of my brothers who is very uncomfortable with the work I do. He is also extremely intuitive, by the way, but he's very uncomfortable with the work I do. And so he creates these comments sometimes that I've finally, it used to be that I would get, all up in my ego and just be like, rrr. And now it's like, thank you. Because it's usually see saying, you're weird, or you do things so differently than everybody else does. And I'm like, thank you so much. That was entirely my intention.
I love that, to take ownership of your uniqueness, because we're all so unique. And honestly, for some people, we're so unique that it kind of, let's say, freaks them out. It makes them very uncomfortable because we are so unique and so different. So when people say that, I love that response. Thank you for that, because we should embrace our uniqueness, because we have been told so many times before, hence the reason you shut things down. And I know there's reasons, a lot of the same reasons I shut things down for a long time, was because you were afraid to embrace your uniqueness and afraid to put it out to the world because of the backlash you would get.
Absolutely. We live in a society that appreciates conformity. And there is this wonderful rising tide that is truly encouraging people to celebrate their individuality and the different colors of people and who they are. And that can make people very uncomfortable, because again, that means that there's a lack of conformity. And for those who really value conformity, and they are faced with those who don't conform, it is definitely a button pusher, I think, in large part because it raises questions they're not comfortable with.
I agree with you. I think it starts making them look within a little bit and going, oh, maybe there's something within me. I kind of agree with some of this, but if I even expose a little bit of that, it may put me down the path, and I don't want to open up that Pandora's box for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things I've said so many times to people. Following a spiritual path such as this it's not for the faint of heart. And I sincerely mean that, because it is not in any way easy. It can be easeful, but not easy. And the work that you're put through if you're willing to go there, is not at all comfortable a lot of the time
Oh.
because it does require such self-reflection and truly asking ourselves, is that something I believe, really believe, or is that something I was taught to believe or I'm expected to believe?
That's a really good word. I'm expected to believe. And taking those expectations and really look at them and ask, are they mine or are they someone else's expectations?
Totally, totally. And it is not it's not always pleasant to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, I'm there with you to self-reflect and go, what part did I play in this? What did what was my role in this whole situation? And it's a lot of self-reflection and a lot of soul searching. So I agree, it is not for the faint of heart.
Sure. But it's worthy. It's a worthy undertaking. It really is.
I've got to say, when you go through, as you're working through a lot of this, for me, and I'm just going to speak for myself, I don't know about you, but for me, it's been the most exhilarating and the most joyful and just the most biggest sense of accomplishment that I've ever had in my whole life doing this journey. And just the joy you feel every day of just the appreciation of everything around you is more than I could have ever imagined. And it's hard to even describe to people when they first start the journey. And how does it make you feel?
Yeah, it very similarly. It's I would love to be able to say that I'm 100% joyful about it every day, but that would
Oh
be
no.
me. You know what I mean? I mean, but and yet at the same time, I can just observing people around me and listening to how they talk about things isn't it really shows to me how this journey has made it so that call it a deeper appreciation for everything and a heightened sense of curiosity, which intrinsically will lead to that sense of excitement and, yes, sometimes joy too, because within that curiosity, that's where you find more development. That's where you learn more about this incredibly complex and super cool universe we live in.
Absolutely. And I think it helps having when you're feeling that when you have the days, because we all have it when stuff doesn't go right, things aren't going together right, and you're like, what did I do? But when you hit those days, it's where you can you have a method. You're starting to work through your feelings, start through your beliefs to bring you back out the other side much quicker instead of delving on something for days, weeks, months, or years, like you maybe did in the past. It's a very quicker move through.
I call it recovery time. And it is, that's one thing I've noticed too. And again, I'm so grateful that you bring that up because, excuse me, it's one of those things that it's one of those things that like it's at the front of the mind to say to people, you're so going to appreciate doing this because,
Yeah.
but it's true, the recovery time, like things that used to upset me and like it would last for days on end. I would just become mired in it. I would get passive aggressive. I would, just go through the whole thing. It's like now it's maybe an hour or two, and sometimes it's only a minute or two. And then I'm realizing it's really funny to stop and I'm like, where did that go? Because it's not there anymore. Did I really already process that? Okay, I guess I did. Maybe, I think, well, just continue on because it's a funny thing to realize that.
And it's really like you said that you kind of get that, where did it go? What happened? How did I move through it so quick? And you're like, well, that was kind of fun now.
Yeah, totally. It's, yeah, call it a side effect. It's a wonderful side effect doing this work.
A wonderful side effect. And that brings me up to you had there was I kind of go through people's websites, go through their stuff. So And you had other things in there where you talked about energy clouding. So what is energy clouding? How do you identify it, and how can you work at clearing that?
It's interesting because I'm like, when did I write about energy clouding? So I'm like, did I write about energy clouding? I must have written about energy clouding. So, but the thing is, I can see it. So,
The only reason they're bringing this up is because they're telling me when people first start on their path, there's a lot of energy that kind of comes in, they know that there are people listening that are just starting their path and just starting to understand it, and people who are well along their path, and they want to make sure everyone is included in this session.
Totally. I love that. Oh, I love that so much. So the thing is, what this clouding, the clouding looks like dense clouds. What it feels like to me is, the only way I can describe it is cotton wool. And so, and the thing is, so imagine cotton wool. So it's like imagining a cotton ball, but then imagine like a wool sweater that has not been refined. So there's a bit of scratchiness to it. And it's heavy. It's quite heavy. So it's almost as though you're swaddled in this cotton wool kind of stuff. And it's a matter of dismantling it. Are you going to be able to just fling it off in one fell swoop? Well, that would be super convenient. Yeah. However, it would be like, I just heard system failure. System failure. You don't want to do that. So it's like the reverse of peeling an onion. So it's starting from the inside and then, you know, working your way out. The wisdom behind that being in this instance is that you're dealing with the stuff that is at your root, at your core. And so starting from that point and working your way out, what's going to happen is as you are peeling away those layers of cotton wool, you're going to start seeing more light coming through. It isn't going to be as dense or as heavy. And so the more you do that, the more light there is, the more that's illuminated.
Nice.
The more you're seeing, hearing, feeling, sensing in all ways, the more you're connecting with other beings, other energies, you're getting a better understanding of, it's so interesting, the terms that are coming through, what your core assets are, what your core assets are. So in that sense, let's call them your intuitive strengths. So you really get a sense of what those are. And so as you're getting to those outer layers, then you have a better sense of how to work with them. You have a better understanding of them. So when that last layer is peeled off and it's like everything is made available to you, you can see and feel everything, you're better prepared for that. You're better equipped for that. And so it's so important to understand that it is a process. It's best that you don't wake up one day and be able to have a full understanding of the architecture of the universe and all of its parts, because your brain will not be able to take it. And on top of that, it's going to be so much information, you're not going to be able to assimilate it. You want to be able to assimilate it. Through the assimilation, there is an appreciation and an enjoyment. You know?
I love that. And knowing, you know, a lot of people like, I just want it all to come in. When you said you can't process it all. You really can't process it. And that's why, like with you and I both, they work with us in bits and pieces, bringing through what we're able to process, what we can move through in the moment. And what you're doing now, you couldn't have done before because you weren't in the state of being able to process that, being able to bring it through. And the same with me, they're bringing new things in because we couldn't process it before. And hence, that's the reason we're always learning, always going. We can only do it a little at a time.
That's right. And again, it gives us the appreciation of being able to experience it and saying, oh, that's a new thing. Like, yes, yeah, sometimes it can be a little annoying to have stuff show up and you know, not in our specific timing that we would prefer. And yet at the same time, it gives us the opportunity to say, oh, that's super cool. And now I have a new tool for my toolkit, for my healing bag, you know?
Absolutely. I love that. And that actually brings me into the one other question I had, which was, you had the difference between need versus want in using your divination tools, and how to differentiate the need versus want. And I kind of dig in a little bit, and you were talking about clearing your tools after you use them. So dive into that a little bit for us.
Yeah. So it's one of those things, again, it's, you know, so when we buy fruit from the grocery store, we don't just bring it home and eat it. We bring it home and we wash it, and then we eat it, because it's been subject to whatever was used to help it grow. It's been touched by dozens, if not hundreds, of different hands. We don't want to put that into our mouth. And it's sort of the same thing with our intuitive tools. So the thing is, even like with, let me see what I'm going to show for an example, like this piece of selenite. So, you know, when I received it, I cleared it, and I cleared it so that it was completely neutral. I didn't like clear it to work specifically with me. I wanted it to be completely neutral because I wanted to really feel its energy. And so as I work with it, periodically now I clean it, although selenites honestly are pretty self-cleaning, which I love. However, if I need to use it for, let's say, a particularly harrowing house cleaning or something, then I will absolutely support it to get rid of any extraneous energy that is definitely going to dull its capacity to work the way I know it can work. So it's, you know, any intuitive tools that we use, it's like one of those things where and maybe this is just a rite of passage, I don't know. But once I realized that I could work with all these tools, like I had to have them all, you know? So the Oracle cards, and then, okay, I'll work with the tarot. Okay, that's fine. Oh, crystals. Oh yeah, crystals and pendulums and, you know, divining rods and all the things. And thing is then realizing, like, what do I really use? I mean, I use all of them in part, but what do I really use? And crystals I use every day. The second most useful thing I would say is probably my pendulum and my divination cards. You know, do I need all the other stuff? Do I really need it? No, I like it. I like to know that I have it. But the thing is, it's, you know, I think we can say it's good to have on hand just in case we need it. And on the other side of that, it can also create a situation where if you really like just don't stop and check in when, you know, you're reaching for a tool, is this what I really need for this particular situation? If we're assuming, because it's our go-to, you know, there is such a thing as too much. So does that answer your question? I'm not sure.
Absolutely. And it's about the ability to, just because this works in the moment, whatever you're using, then to be able to change and shift, like you're drawn to something else, then use the other thing and don't worry about going back to the other, like, oh, I always use that, so I need to go back to that, and be able to stretch yourself and expand yourself and try the other things. And you'll discover, I've discovered some things like, I don't need it right away. I'll pick it up. It's like, well, I don't really need it, but it may be down the road all of a sudden, like, oh, that's exactly what I need. So trust yourself. It may not be in the moment. And some things are just, as you move through them, you're going to something else, and that's okay. And I have lots of fun things behind me that I use, but I don't use them all every day. Different ones will call to me when I need them. And I'm sure it's the same for you.
It is, absolutely. It is. And I think that's it, again, it's a that's a discernment thing. It's that is an intuitive thing. It's making sure that we're paying in we're in intuitive awareness before we just reach for something because that's what we normally do, you know? And it's the same thing when it comes to clearing those things that we use. I mean, I will say that my go-to for clearing is my pendulum. It is my go-to. And more often than not, it's what I'm told. Just use the pendulum, it'll do the work for you. Okay, cool. I'm happy to do that. So, but sometimes, you know, you have to reach for the black tourmaline because you need that energy, or you know, it's the amethyst, or sometimes they're like, you don't need any tool except your own energy. And to pay attention to that too.
Absolutely. I think that's very important for people to realize sometimes the tools are needed in the moment, and sometimes that tool is just going to be you.
Yes, like
And
you are the tool.
absolutely, you are the tool. I love that. So I am having a fun time today, and I want to make sure I'm cognizant of your time because I appreciate the time you are giving everyone here. And I just want to encourage people to make sure to go on Ellen's website. It's ellenmgregg.com. I will have her information in the link. And for those of you listening out on the podcast area, you're obviously not going to see the link because you only see the podcast. But for those, it's ELLENM, as in Mary, GREGG. Dot com. So check out her information on ellenmgregg.com. So much great information on there, and you're gonna find more. And like I said, Ellen works online. She's doing things over the internet. You could reach her anywhere in the world. And that's the one thing I love about this time in history. We can reach anyone. We're all connected. And part you're doing the spiral, part of that spiral connecting more communities. So definitely take the time to check out that and get on some of her monthly meetings or weekly. Actually, you can do weekly or monthly. And Ellen, is there anything you'd like to say before we close today?
I just want to say thank you because I feel like these conversations are just so important because it's when I feel like it, you know. Feel free, listeners, you can say I'm totally wrong in saying this, but it feels like we aren't talking above anybody's heads. And that is so important because none of this is above any of us. It's not above any of us. It's just like, you know, think about getting your high school graduation or your college degree. It's just a matter of doing the work to get there. That's all. So,
I love that. And my light just flickered in agreement with you. And
I need one.
it is realizing we are all the same. We all have different, maybe different unique abilities in different aspects, but we all can get there. It's just a matter of trusting and believing in yourself. And I like to tell people, you know, what I do is nothing special. I'm just listening to myself and listening to what's around there. So try to be the best listener you possibly can be, and you'll find everything is available to you. And knowing we're all on the same level, no one's above anyone here. And even on the other side, no one is above anyone. We're all
No,
equal.
it's a beautiful thing. It's a
Yeah.
beautiful thing. Love that so much.
Absolutely. And thank you so much. And I just, Ellen, I appreciate your time. And I just encourage people to check out Ellen, more about her on her website, ellenmgregg.com. And I wish and thank all of you for listening today. And just make sure every first and third Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., new episodes are released. And usually, as long as my internet works correctly, the YouTube video of these interviews are up on YouTube the following day on Wednesday at noon. Unless I inquire a glitch, then it might be Thursday, but check on Wednesday. But I am so excited to have you here, Ellen. Thank you so much. And I hope all of you Tune in next time for the next episode on Edge Talk Radio. I hope all of you have an absolutely amazing day.